obedience as fruit that you're of him. So you're striving. If you're young in Christ, you're cleaning up your life. If you're mature in Christ, you should have a lot of your life already cleaned up. Hebrews 5:9 says, he made the way of eternal life, not for those that still live in their sin, for those who obey him. Jesus said, why do you say you love me, but you don't keep my commands? And one of the fruits of a true believer, there's two main fruits, love for each other. Yeah. So there should be instant, like, wow, those people are might be my brother and sister. I have a love for them. It's instant. If God's spirit is in you, it should be instant. You go,
are you seeing me?
I like that. Most people, here's
you,
what we get.
You were on a standoff effect.
Well, here's why.
It's conviction.
When you do what I do, here's why. And my wife will tell you. Most people walk by and they see your sign and they go, and they give me a thumbs up and they walk by and I go, oh, are you a Christian? Amen, amen. And I go, want to talk about the Lord?
They're scared to talk about it.
Men will say, oh, I know the gospel. So what's the gospel?
Not me. I'll preach it on the rooftop. I don't care what they think. I've been fired from jobs because of
me too. Faith, repentance, holiness,
that's what he wants.
Born again, holiness and obedience. Yeah. And then the last one, I hope and pray.
One of the first things I tell the people, the ones that get saved, go tell everybody you got saved. Go tell.
I hope you agree with me on this last one. You must endure in your faith. You're not a Calvinist. Where you just raise your hand, believe
in
Jesus.
No, not once saved, always saved.
That is a cancer. Yeah, it's not taught anywhere in God's word. It's a twisted.
I make people recommit all the time and stuff when I see it.
It's a twisted theology.
I'll say it 3 times a week for myself.
Well, you and I are of that mind because I teach people all the time, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Yeah. So those 5 points, do you agree with me? You have to have all 5 points.
No, when I do my morning devotionals, I'll say the sinner's prayer.
But do you agree with me you have to have all 5? Faith.
Yeah, faith.
Repentance. Born again.
Yeah.
Holiness and obedience as fruit you're his, and endurance in the faith.
I agree with
Can you add anything to that or take anything away from that for gaining eternal life?
No, that's
just
it.
Just the 5 points, and it's up right on our card. Yeah. But you said something I want to touch on. You said saved.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful with that term, because if we believe we must endure, which you believe you do, we have to be very careful. And here's why: I see men that go into the gutters. I witness to homeless people all the time. They go into gutters and they try to get people to say. They give them a false gospel, which is believe in Jesus. Yes. You're a sinner, believe in Jesus. He died for your sins. And then the drunk goes, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. And they go, would you like to say a sinner's prayer? And, oh, they'll say a sinner's prayer. And they say a sinner's prayer. And they say, congratulations, you're going to go to heaven. That's a lie. That's not what the scripture says. That man, if he is born of God, must pick himself up.
It's a gift. And you can throw the gift away immediately.
Yes. Yes. So here's the thing.
I've seen them do it. I've seen them pick it. Take the free gift, but not repent whatsoever.
We're not saved yet.
No. It's he who endures to the end.
So be careful with that term when you say I'm saved or you're saved. Do a Bible study on the word saved in the New Testament. There's about 20 of them, and there's two that talked about you have the hope of the future salvation. All of them are
I get it all the time. That pride steps in the way when they need a recommitment and they don't realize that they do. Yeah. And pride will step in the way out. But to get them one of them to do it is such a blessing.
It is. Very
some
few.
Some of them go very a long
few.
Ways.
Very few. Now, you said, what do I do? So we just went over the gospel. So now your life is in Christ. You must make sure that you're fully conformed to the word of God so that you can be a witness, so that you can proclaim the gospel biblically. And then Jesus said two important things. He said, preach the gospel, make disciples. Most men run out and start preaching a gospel. They don't have a biblical gospel. And then they forget all about making disciples. Jesus said, teaching them.
No, that's important.
Jesus said, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you.
Stay in the loop.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do you make disciples? You've got to be training so that you know when someone says, I want to follow Christ. Dennis, what do I do? You don't send them to a man-made religious building.
I just have nowhere to take them.
Well, you don't take them anywhere. You don't take them anywhere.
I try to give them Bible studies and stuff like that.
What you do is tell them, I need to disciple you now. And the first thing you teach them is, these religious places are going to lead you astray. They're going to cause you to compromise in sin. They're going
to
teach you false traditions.
Try
exactly. You must be a discipler Bible study with them, train them up, and turn...
I used to do Bible studies all the time.
Yeah, turn them into what you and I want to be, men of God that can disciple. And then we all go out and we just keep doing that.
Yeah.
We don't build buildings. We don't put pastors in a pulpit. No. This is all man-made garbage. We tell
a lot of pastors are taking all the tithe money, making everybody go live their life by one rule of the, what is it, 613 commandments?
Yeah, the Old Testament.
Yeah, and then when you break that rule, you throw away the gift.
James
because
you're
practicing
one,
you got to practice all 613. And so what it does
is... It's a money-grubbing system.
Yeah, man.
But what you have to do is you have to understand something, though. Jesus said you must worship God in spirit and truth, John 4:24. So we must be in spirit of God, which if we're born of God, we have a spirit. We have to be in truth. So my challenge to you is, in this culture we live in, it's a vile culture. It's a pagan culture. Hold on. It's an immodest culture. It's a... carnal culture, if I haven't said that.
No,
and so what we
lovers, I put it lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers
2
of
Timothy 3. A brother of mine uses a word all the time that he's installed into my vocabulary.
It's horrible out there.
Wicked.
It's the devil
wicked.
Wicked.
So what you have to do is learn what is the proper standard for yourself and for God's people, and then as you preach the gospel, you'll be a witness to it, and then you could pass it on to other people. Most people that I've noticed in this culture, and I don't know where you are with this, so we've covered the gospel, we've covered you got to be biblical and keep all of God's word in the New Testament.
Yeah.
The Old Testament has lots of examples for us, but we're
always
keeping...
Always you got to continually be growing.
Yes, yes, we're keeping the New Testament.
Out, you got to try to always be growing.
Coming out of the culture. Most people accept Jesus, say a prayer, they go home and turn the TV on.
I haven't watched TV in 6 years.
Okay. Do you not have one or you just don't watch
it? I don't have one.
Good
and
for
I don't
you.
Want one.
We got rid of ours 10 years ago.
I threw away my cell phone for a whole year or two.
Football, baseball, basketball, sports. You lay all these out. Entertainment.
Yeah.
Now, what you must do is.
And then I would mess up.
Yeah. The people will say to us, oh, but you're on computers and the internet is vile. The internet's vile. But we don't
go. You gotta communicate with social media and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, but you have to clean it and vet it out.
And then you don't run into, how do you guys, this is what I want to know. I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
How do you find fellowship and find what you need out there in the world? Does God just bring them to you? Because you're not a pastor, are you?
Well, what does that mean? A pastor is a man that overlooks people's souls.
Now, do you have a family of Christians?
We have other believers that we know, and most of us are all scattered.
Right.
Okay, and we travel all the time, so we're not going to
be sitting. So do you ever run across guys like me out there?
I don't know who you are exactly yet. Yeah. I like what I see, but I don't know enough. Obviously, we have to go deeper, but no, I don't see a lot of men that are willing to sit down. I loved it when you said, can I sit down? We want to sit down and talk about the Word of God. Well, let me rephrase that. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses will sit down.
Oh, good false religion.
The cults will come after you. But Bible-believing people, it's very rare to find a man that is excited and wants to talk about the Word
of God. Oh, that's all I think about. It's all consuming. How could nobody not?
You know? If you're not born of God, it's not going to happen.
How could nobody not? After you have a visitation from...
How long have you been born again?
You know, I was saved when I was 7, and I was...
Saved. Watch that term.
Well, I accepted Christ when I was there.
Watch that term. You let go of Christ.
I went 13 years probably up until... I feel bad.
How old are you?
20s and 30s. I turned 45 the other day.
45?
Yeah.
Okay.
Six years
a little
ago,
ahead of you. 57.
6 years ago, I did a recommitment or whatever back to the Lord.
Yes.
And, but it completely changed my life.
Yeah.
But I knew him as a child, as a young man, and as an adult.
But I'm going to ask you a question, though, because 7-year-old's pretty young. When were you born again? When would you say you were born of God's Spirit? See, that's the important thing. People know Jesus.
I got the fire.
Yeah, when were
6 years ago.
See, that's what I mean. So, you care.
When it came down from heaven.
Here's the thing.
And I was 3 hours.
If you're my brother in Christ, I love you, and I want to share something with you. Be careful of your testimony, because a lot of people say, well, I've known God since I was 7. That's not true. Yeah. Most people. They've known about God.
Well, my family said I preached through my 20s and
30s. It doesn't matter. You just told me. It doesn't matter. You knew about God, and God was doing things in your life, and you're trained up. But you just said to me, You were born again 6 years ago.
Yeah, the fire, that fire.
So you were not a Christian until 6 years ago. Yeah. So see, you got to drill it home. Deb and I knew each other before we were married.
My non-believing mother witnessed it all, and she was blown away by it because it happened.
So you got to get those terminologies straight. So let me go back and answer your question. So what do you do? How do you find fellowship? Deb and I were born again about a month apart from each other about 10 years ago. The first thing we did was we went to church. We didn't know nothing.
Yeah,
we were dummies.
I had to learn.
We went to Assembly of God, which is semi-Pentecostal. Yeah. And after about 4 or 5 months of going home, reading our Bibles, going to church and going, they're really worldly, carnal, and they don't even want to talk about God.
Now they're revealing
the Bible says something.
The first step, they're revealing a sin.
So we left. The pastor said you would be happy here to go. We went into each other's fellowship.
Well, that's good that y'all had that.
Yeah, it is. But we found other people that wanted home fellowship, but
real,
yeah. But in the beginning, people would come, we'd read the Bible, and we'd get to the hard stuff, and they'd go, I got to do that too. And
well,
you'd
no,
go,
sir.
Yeah, and then leave.
And is that hard to make it into heaven?
Not many's gonna make it.
No,
get that through. Jesus said few in Matthew 7.
Yeah,
do you know how many men that I'm counseling that are saying to us?
There's 30 million people coming.
They're going, if the road is a
not
lot
me,
more
I'm
narrow than
the
I thought.
Holy Spirit's told me that very few are gonna make it. And I realized that what I went through the last 6 years, it wasn't easy. It was a hard
thing. You lost a lot of friends.
I lost everything.
Yeah, so did we.
I lost everything.
I lost my career job.
I lost my family.
Yes.
Yeah, all that.
Yes.
Yeah, here locally too.
Yes.
And it still isn't fixed.
Yeah.
You know, now.
So you find fellowship. Here's where you find fellowship. We grew the most. So after those people were coming and going to home fellowship, we said, you know what? These people don't want the fullness of God. They just wanted a social club in their house. We went away.
Somebody take the gift, cry right in front of you, and then 2 weeks later they hadn't cracked the Bible, they hadn't done anything, and they just think that that's it. Once you do that, that's it. And he calls you to suffer.
Jesus said, "Be wise as a serpent. Test them." That's what I'm saying.
John 4:1, test the spirits.
There will be fruit early. If you marry a woman and she's not faithful to you on day one and week one, that's her fruit. She's not faithful to you. You expect her to be faithful in day one. Christians that come to Christ, they will begin to bear fruit. And you know what the best fruit is? If the Spirit of God is in them and they're born of God, the very first fruit is, I want to learn this and know this and keep it, and I'm going to strip myself down. Not, do I got to get rid of football? That's not
the fruit. The Baptist, this open door Baptist guys, we want to talk about traditions. Sing the good old college cheer song every time. They all dress really super nice, and they go by rules and everything.
Who's this?
Open Door Baptist over here by the
If they got the Baptist name on it, they're not biblical. We're not supposed to have denominational names. Think about that.
Yeah.
Those names are all made of man. The Baptist faith came along in the 1620s. Jesus started his New Testament body when? First century.
Yeah.
So Baptist faith, throw that out. You get fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you be His body right where you are, which you've been doing. And then when you endure in the faith, and God sees your faithfulness, then God began to reward us after years with other believers that we could encourage in the faith. And it's slowly. We don't have many.
I found some on social media.
Well, yeah. Be careful. People aren't what they seem to be.
No, I'm not involved with them. I'm just listening to them. You know?
Yeah, and so we found very few. And what we have found is, what I would encourage you to do is find your fellowship in the Word of God with the Spirit of God, and that's your everything. Because when they come and throw you in jail, I can promise you, they're not going to put all those Christians together.
Yeah.
They're going to separate us. So you're going to have to be separate. How about Noah? Who did Noah have besides his family? We don't even know if his family were believers. Noah was a righteous man that stood alone in a wicked generation.
Well, it's like Abraham went to get Lot. After Lot, he thought he took the good stuff, and
remember,
Abraham would have crashed.
You love the story. Who was it? Was it Abraham that said, God, what if I show you 30 righteous people? How about 5?
I went
to
Walmart over here. Is another Baptist church right behind there, and I went down there. And that pastor, he's been a pastor for a lot of years, and we were talking about things, and there were some things. The way he acted was He didn't believe the stories. Like, they weren't real.
No.
That, well, and that blew my mind.
That's higher critical thinking. They're taking the Bible, and they're saying, those are just allegories. And
they think they're metaphors.
Metaphors, it's allegories. And we don't have to follow them because they're keeping man-made traditions, and that's how you keep people in buildings.
Yeah.
You will, if you go, you go on the internet, right?
I do.
You will enjoy our website. We have hundreds of articles, audios, videos. Yeah. And we have a 10-point test that refutes all the man-made places. We have the biblical gospel. We disciple people. So you must be discipled in the Word and the Spirit. And then if you're truly of God and you're obedient in all your ways, God will begin to either strengthen you so you don't need anybody else. You just go out and preach the gospel. You're a single guy. Or you just met two true workers of God. I can promise you. If you can go...
I just told the pastors over at Foursquare that I ran into one of the pastors named Pastor Terry and got on to him a little bit. They were in there prosperity preaching, and I told him I didn't like that prosperity preaching going on in there. He was like, I don't preach that, you know, and I was like, yeah, you do. And I said, you've got legalism going on in there too, so tell the rest of them pastors. I won't go back, you know.
You have to be very careful. If you're claiming to be a man of God, you have to be very careful that you don't go into those places and unite with them in song or prayer or service, because that's spiritual harlotry. If you're God's.
No, I haven't went back.
Yeah, I'm saying, no, be careful.
They like mine because I could sing really well, and I can sing in the spirit, and they're all attracted to my gifts and stuff. Because that's what I noticed. The churches, when I go into a new church, they'll notice right away.
Be careful, though. Like I said, we just said none of them are biblical. Why would you go and unite with them if they're not biblical?
I didn't. This was after I found out.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So be careful now, because if you're the set-apart body of Christ,
no,
we don't go into darkness.
Introduce myself, you know, work one of their ministries.
You can go there to witness. You know what we do?
What?
We go to places and stand outside on public property with gospel signs.
Ah, I've seen that street preaching.
And as the people come in
like
and out.
Like the guys that do it on Joel Osteen and all the rest of them mega churches.
Yeah, and sometimes, last Sunday, we didn't have any spot to park on public property, so it was a big, giant seeker-friendly place. We pulled right in their parking lot and just sat there with our gospel sign. We have a biblical testing of their body up. Within 2 minutes, their security guard was on us, just sitting in the van, and he said, what are you here for? And I said, the truth of God. I held up my Bible. I said, are you guys about the truth of God? Well, yeah. I said, maybe some people want to talk about the truth of God. He goes, you can't do that here. And I said, you're a church. The Bible says everyone's welcome.
See, that's exactly what he said. I told him I was.
You know what they did?
I was going to go get me a big banner.
They called the police on me.
I believe it.
I was just sitting in my van. Never left my van.
They called the police on me as well.
The police showed up, and I witnessed to the police, and I witnessed all them, and we drove off peacefully. Don't unite with those places. If they're doing a building system.
It don't take me long to figure it out, and I'm usually there, like you said, as a witness. And I'll see what's going on real quickly, and then I usually get away. But there's people in there that I care about, like I'll become friends with them, and I worry about them and try to tell them and let them know.
Then here's what you do. What you need to do is test the modern pastors, and then you need to lovingly call them out of their sin. And if they won't leave their sin, then they need to be rebuked and marked.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I have an
How do you mark them?
I have an unbiblical teacher's blog, where I've got hundreds in there. And so if Bill Johnson from Missoula Baptist Church, if I put him on my website in about 2 or 3 days, if you search his name, we come up on the first page of Google. We've been doing this so long.
Oh, because
we put exposed. We'll put Dennis Johnson exposed.
Yeah.
And we rebuke him, we mark him that way.
Now,
Romans.
How many subscribers?
We don't do subscribers.
You don't know?
We don't care. So, brother asked me the other day, he said, how do you know how many people are watching your website? I said, I don't care. I don't care if there's zero or a million. Because you know what? You were never called to be successful. Show me one scripture where God says you'd be successful.
As a matter of fact, I used to be successful, but not anymore.
God calls you to be faithful.
Yeah, and obedient.
So be faithful. So I don't care about numbers. That don't mean nothing to me. If you ask me how many brothers I have, and I told you one or I told you 50, it doesn't
what's
matter.
What's your name again?
Jim.
Jim.
It doesn't matter. It's how much.
It costs me everything.
Yeah, us too.
It costs me everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're abound. We have a place in Wisconsin still. We're going to sell it. We've relocated to central Missouri so we can bounce. We have a tiny place in Missouri that's off the grid that we built, and we're about to sell our place in Missouri or Wisconsin, and we're going to be traveling full-time on the road. I think we're right now we do it about 6 or 7 months of the year, but we're going to be traveling full-time. We'll go down to Texas.
Yeah.
Talk about a hotbed of Bible Belt paganism. Texas.
Texas is bad.
Arkansas.
It's a club. They're all of them are clubs. There's not the real thing out there.
It's a club.
Anything.
Now let me ask you. Now, you see, I'm just going to go there. So we talked about TV, entertainment. This is all of, not of God. This is of the world.
I know.
We're not to put nothing vile before our eyes. We're not to sit and entertain ourselves.
How long are sermons?
I'm going to take you to places where this could be the end of us, but that's okay. That's okay, because we're going to hold the scripture. We teach things like instrumental music.
You
not
know,
biblical.
You know, he has cleaned up my acts from my music taste.
Yeah.
You know, slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly.
If you study the scriptures, you'll find that the New Testament body of Christ, who we are to model and imitate, did not use instrumental music. And do you know why? Instrumental music, what does it do to you?
It hypnotizes.
It moves your flesh.
Yeah. Oh, you don't believe in dancing or nothing like that?
Where's that in the New Testament church? Body of Christ. Not that's that word church.
The Old Testament talks about
David danced one time. It wasn't prescribed.
And
it was
Solomon
description.
Let me
tell you why instrumental music and dancing is not for today. Let me tell you why.
Now, I don't believe in that rock and roll and all that stuff.
Instrumental music is not for today. Yeah. Instrumental music moves your flesh. If we sing to the Lord with our voices, there's no flesh, as soon as we bring a guitar, a piano, synthesized music, what's happening? You see it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's why. Old Testament.
Emotions. Don't be deceived by
Romans 8.
And that's what they do. They stir everybody up using their emotions.
This is why.
And then boom, hit the plate out there. Give me your
this
money.
This is what. Why
you
they say,
good.
Come up front, accept the Lord, say a prayer. These are false converts.
I don't even see that anymore.
Okay, here's why. Well, they do it all over. Here's why. Old Testament, everything, there wasn't a Holy Spirit, was there?
No.
Everything was outside. Men.
They were covered.
Men were circumcised on the outside.
Yeah.
Animals were slaughtered on the outside, okay?
Yeah.
They had instrumental music to make music to God on the outside. Jesus comes, fulfills the law, takes away the slaughtering of the animals, he's the Lamb of God. Takes away the circumcision of men. He circumcisions our heart. You see what's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
It went from the outside to the inside. If you study in Ephesians, it says, now make music in your heart and sing songs to God, which is not instrumental, because it's not no longer of the flesh. It's all of the spirit. Look at what's happening, because here's the problem.
I'll look it all up. So I'm not going to judge it till I look.
We have articles on our teaching blog. You can look it up, all about music. Because look what's happened. Do you know who brought instruments into the New Testament body of Christ? Roman Catholics. An organ in the ninth century. And what's happened from the organ? What do we see now? Rock bands.
The Lutherans. They
Zootown. I did a testing on Zootown. They got a rock band in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's ungodly.
Yeah.
So
I'd take y'all the rock bands in there. Yeah.
So we've covered that. So instrumental music. If you can biblically prove me wrong and show me where that's in the New Testament.
This Baptist church over here don't play music and they just sing old school hymns.
Which is their
nobody
voices.
Nobody don't dance.
Acapella.
But they're wrong in their teaching traditions of me and another.
Christmas, Easter, things like that. They're ungodly. Yes.
Not just that, just
all kinds of
he thoughts. Takes it as a metaphor.
Okay, so let's keep going. You see how my wife dresses.
Yeah.
Okay. You use the word legalism and I don't know what you mean by that. The scriptures actually teach that our clothes are sin covering. Think about it. Adam and Eve fell. They tried to use little fig leaves.
Yeah.
What did God do? He killed an animal.
He was the first hunter. And he skinned them so they could cover themselves.
No. Think a little bit more theologically deep. Not the first hunter. He shed blood so that they could be covered. It was a forerunner of Christ to come.
Yeah. Like Isaac.
And what did he put them in? He put them in robes. And the point of this was to cover their forms.
Yeah.
So what we teach people, exactly what the Bible teaches, is that the Bible teaches in 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter 3 that a woman is to wear a mourning cloak, as you probably have as a single man. Notice women dress like harlots today. Christian women.
I thought it was just plain.
Christian women dress like harlots.
Oh yeah, they dress like...
Makeup, which is not becoming...
First ladies.
Makeup. Okay, makeup is not becoming of godly women. You see that my wife head covers.
Yep.
That's taught in scriptures. And for 1900 years, 1 Corinthians 11, for 1900 years, the body of Christ, the claim to be the body of Christ, women head covered and dressed very modest. Yeah. And so did men.
I agree with that.
And so did men. Men dressed much more biblical.
The Mennonites and all the ladies covered their heads.
Yeah, and they don't do it biblically because they're following man-made traditions, little buns on back. So that's not biblical. It's to be a veil. It's supposed to be a veil.
I can believe that.
So I'm just taking you to places where maybe you haven't got to yet or you haven't studied. This is the depth that we must go because Jesus said, command them to keep all of his traditions. And what this does, to set you apart for them. To be set apart is to be made holy.
I'm honest.
Well, but you got to keep going so that you make sure that you're conformed in everything. I don't know if you are or not.
I agree with that because the narrow is the way, steep and hard, but it becomes steeper.
Let me show you something. I'm going to stand up here. For men's clothing, I don't teach you got to wear a dress or a toga. But here's what I teach. I believe men should be along the lines of women, that their privates,
big khaki pants,
their privates should be covered and they should wear clothes two or three sizes bigger because these are sin coverings and we should never adorn them. We shouldn't put sports teams and logos and names. This is a sin covering.
Yeah.
So here's the point. When you come preaching with your Bible, you don't want them to recognize or see anything about you but the Word of God.
Right. Plain. Yeah.
The Word of God. So
we set examples.
And that's non-legalism. I don't know. What do you think is legalism? You mentioned that word. So
I've been doing a study of legalism.
What is legalism?
It falls under being like the traditions of men.
Okay, that's
rules
different.
And stuff.
Yes. That is legalism.
And that's the Sadducees and Pharisees, and it falls back into the Old Testament. Those are the ones that killed Jesus.
Yes.
And what happens, from what I've learned, is they get in there. I've heard many a pastor say, there's stuff going on with the Lord in my church, but I don't like to lose control. I've heard that so many times.
Yeah, well, God is a God of order.
But so
there should be
they're
control.
They're promoting, legalism is promotion of people who have served underneath them after they, all the tithes, which is a lie, and all the rest of that stuff, and then they promote them because of their service in there. But God didn't promote them, so they're blaspheming against the Spirit because they're following a church of men. And so what happens is rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft deals with instead because they're blaspheming. And so they lose their power, they lose this, they lose that, and it becomes about money. Yeah, and then
it becomes dead ritual.
And then
it's dead ritual.
Right, and then who needs? There's a lot of people not getting promoted. That's what the Holy Spirit says.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens. And then they try to catch the newbies who are filled with the Spirit and on fire with Christ and slow that flame down and stamp it out.
Yeah, I agree. God is a God of order, so I don't believe that the body of Christ comes together. It should be disordered. I don't believe in that. But I also don't believe that, like I said, one man controls it. The Holy Spirit controls it. It's not from 10 to 12. When we have house fellowship with people, we could talk for 3 hours. We could talk for 9 or 10 hours. And some people have to go. Some people stay. And it's just, you're a family. And you're just talking about the things of God. And you know what's always amazing? When you let the Holy Spirit lead, let's say we had four brothers here and we say, let's go meet at McDonald's. So we meet at McDonald's, we sit down, we're having coffee. We got no program.
Yeah.
We got no time
That's
frame.
How it happens anyway.
Okay. We got no time frame. You come and go as you leave. If you got to go to work or go take care of your wife, you sit there. And all of a sudden you sit down and you go, what's that you, brother? And you go, wow, I had this weird situation at me. And he starts sharing from the Bible. And then another brother goes, you know, I want to talk about this. And he starts sharing it. And all of a sudden you're sitting there and you go, this is crazy, but I was going to come and ask a question and you two guys just covered it. And you've edified me. You let the Holy Spirit lead you, it does its job.
I know.
And it lifts people up. Now,
this is how I roll it. I look at everybody as an opportunity for Christ.
Yeah.
Every single person. No accidents, no coincidences.
Yeah.
This is me.
Yeah.
This is
God's sovereign.
God.
Yeah. I believe this is a sovereign meeting of God.
When I grasped that concept, that's when it all started flowing real good for me.
Now, there's one place where I sense you and I might not be of one mind on.
Oh, what's that?
And this is where we need to sharpen each other's iron, like it says in Proverbs. And I don't want to be dogmatic about this because it's a very, it can be a gray area. Yeah. Let me explain why. I'm just going to say it. Tongues. Are you a tongue? You believe that tongues, you know, is been, for today? I was assuming you do. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yes, but it also says there's rules to it.
Yeah. Okay. This is why I said I don't want to be dogmatic.
I've heard it.
So you don't actively speak in tongues all the time and stuff? Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
You don't actively speak in tongues?
I don't, but I have before.
Okay. So, because here's what I'm going to say. I don't believe tongues that how we saw it in Acts, I don't believe that's active and for today. I am a secessionist. I believe those gifts faded with the prophet and apostle office. But.
So you don't believe in the prophets or apostles?
No. You do?
I do.
Really?
I do.
So does God still speak to people today? Audibly? Giving them revelation?
Revelation to his word.
Okay, just through new revelation.
Everything I learned.
So, okay, so again, so maybe this is, maybe, hold on. So maybe this is a matter of terminology. So what's a prophet to you today? Before we go back to tongues, what's a prophet? Oh, wait, hold on. What's a prophet in the Old Testament?
I don't know. What is a prophet in the Old Testament?
Prophet in the Old Testament was a man that God specifically called, spoke to directly with an audible voice, gave him a message, and gave him revelation to be recorded as the living word of God. That's the Old Testament.
That's right. He did audibly.
Yeah. And he spoke through the Spirit, and he spoke audibly. And that was for the revelation of God's word, Genesis to Revelation. But can that still happen today?
I believe it can.
How does the word of God be sealed then? Deuteronomy 18 says, don't add or take away from my word. Revelation 22 says, it's sealed, don't add or take away. So here's your and I's Bible. Now, if you or I say we're prophets, I got to open my Bible and start writing down what you're saying in the back of the Bible. Now I'm sinning because I'm doing what you said the Baptist guy do, add and take away from God's word. It's impossible. So here's what I would offer to you. Prophecy. Okay, if I read scripture out loud to you, I'm prophesizing. I'm foretelling God's truth that's already been revealed. I wouldn't call myself a prophet because I'm not a prophet like the Old Testament.
Now, what about the layers?
Wait, hold on, though. Because Hebrews 1 says, or read Hebrews 1, we could read it right now if you want. It says, in the times of old, sundry times, God used to speak through men of old, the prophets.
Yeah.
Today, he speaks through the word.
God, there's so much out there.
Jesus Christ is the word.
There's so many people with so many different thoughts of their concepts in this book.
Yeah, but we go by just what scripture says, not everybody's thoughts and concepts. So you've got people running around saying, God's talking to me out loud, I'm hearing God. It cannot be, because scripture just told us in Hebrews 1.
Now, is that information on your website?
Yeah. I have an article called No Apostles and Prophets for Today. It can't be. Hebrews 1 says, the book is sealed. Hebrews 1 says, and who was the prophet of prophets?
Moses.
Jesus.
Jesus was.
Did he come?
He was a prophet.
Did he fulfill everything?
Yeah.
Did he bring us the written word?
Yeah.
Did he say in Revelation, my book is sealed?
Yeah.
Did he say in Matthew 4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God? So if a man comes along and tells you that he's getting new revelation, he's outside of scripture, so that's dangerous. Apostles, there can't possibly be new apostles today. What's the definition of an apostle, do you know?
Well, it wasn't just the 12, not Paul was an apostle of Christ, right?
Right. Now, so there was 12, one went away, they added another one, and there was Paul. That makes 13. Paul was an outside apostle because he wasn't in Christ's earthly ministry, but he was called after Christ's earthly ministry. At best, say there's 13 apostles. But what's the definition of an apostle? That's what we'll talk about when you come back.
All right. Let me get a cup of coffee.